Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada, and your moderator for this morning. Today is Thursday, June the 25th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, the third paragraph down, starting with "That was great news to us," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Chris W., 12 Traditions, Patsy M., and readers of the text, Penny C., Martha Z., and Reva P. And the share ID for yesterday, Wednesday, June the 24th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23567. That's 23567. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23577. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Chris W. is going to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Chris.
Morning. Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. Here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Chris W. And Patsy M. is going to read the 12 traditions. Hi, Patsy.
Good morning, Lynn, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Patsy M. from Dayton, Ohio. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare comes first. Personal inventory recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Patsy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we are resuming our study of the big book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, the third paragraph down. That was great news to us. And this morning, Penny C. is going to start us off. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much. This is Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. That was great news to us, for we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. When people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we all say, "I wish I had what that man has. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes, but I cannot accept as surely true the many articles of faith which are so plain to him." So it was comforting to learn that we could commence at a simpler level. So this paragraph begins with, "That was great news to us." So for context, it's important that we go back and say, what was great news to us? And so just read some of the preceding paragraphs. As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Well, this helps me a lot in working with others. Through the years, I've worked with several people who have not believed in a deity of any sort, or who have had no religious experience and are skeptical about any of this chapter, for that matter. And to be able to just help them identify a power greater than themselves, something or some person outside themselves who is who has power greater than theirs, which we need to do the steps. The second step says we needed a power greater than ourselves. And I like talking about and I use this as an example, that one of our fellows who is an atheist, who talks about how when he got into OA and his sponsor talked about, you know, needing a higher power, and he said, I don't think I can do this. I don't believe in God. And his sponsor said, well, what do you believe in? And he said, well, I believe in love and I believe in beauty. And his sponsor said, there you go. There's your higher power. So this is so, this paragraph in this chapter especially is so helpful to people who have a hard time believing. I can't make anybody believe what they don't believe. So I don't put myself in this category. I've had a God since I could first comprehend the word. Grew up in a very religious family, and through the steps for almost four decades now, I've had a God of my own understanding who's loving and gentle and kind. But, you know, everybody deserves to be able to become recovered in this program, whether they believe what I believe or not. And so this is not only comforting to me and to other people, but it's brilliant. I, you know, that this was put into the book, that we can guide people through the steps. And so I'll just end with this. In working with others, it says, get a sense of their religious leanings. And so the way that I do that is simply to say to somebody, what do you call your higher power? And that reveals to me, you know, whether they have a deity, or they're searching for a higher power, and we can go from there. And so I thank you, Lynn, for moderating all this month. It's been a wonderful experience, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny C. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. That really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Michelle G.
Yvette L.
Pedro B.
Monica S. from Oregon.
Okay, if we can just hang on a second, please, and I'll tell you who I did hear. I heard Michelle G., Yvette L., Pedro B., I heard Monica, and I heard somebody from Oregon. Monica, what's your last initial, please?
F from Michigan.
Monica F. from Michigan. And who was from Oregon, please?
Liz S.
Liz S. Okay, is there anyone else that I missed?
Anya P. from New Jersey.
I missed your first name from New Jersey.
Haya, C-H-A-Y-A, pronounced.
Haya.
Yeah, hi.
Haya P. from New Jersey. Okay, great. Let's go with that lineup. I think I caught everybody. I've got Michelle G., Yvette L., Pedro B., Monica F., Lynn S., and Haya P. Good morning, Michelle. Please go ahead. Please press star one, Michelle.
Hey, sorry, I was talking away. This is Michelle G. from Massachusetts. Thank you for your service this morning, and thank you for the lead share. and I didn't really know what I wanted to say. I just jumped in because this is my favorite chapter, and it's been super busy on the line lately. Good morning. And so what did I want to mention? I just wanted to mention the principles that was brought up. And I think, as in the lead share, the principles, like, they scooped me in, because I read this chapter after, you know, after reading Bill's story. I came in as really shut down and really prejudiced against religion, and but I knew I was at such a dark bottom of knowing that I couldn't willpower myself out of this. But I just did not want this solution. I did not want a spiritual solution. And I just identified so much with Bill, and then he goes and has the white light, and I'm like, here's another one. And then we agnostics, it just, I kept, like, seeing God and seeing He and seeing all this, like, this, you know, patriarchal God stuff. And I'm like, y'all are just trying to snow me here. Like, get me to drink the Kool-Aid. And but it really mentions over and over and over in all the different ways that we can get to that power. And for me, it was great outdoors, and I just needed to put the fight down and just be and just believe and have that mustard seed of hope that I too could have relief, that I could too could have peace between my ears. I was just so angry all the time. And so if I had to just try and be still and lean into the principles of love and of courage and of, God, I never remember them all, brotherly love and, like, all the things that, like, oh, I was so shut off to, I could do that. I could believe in, like, a higher purpose. So just having that willingness and that mustard seed was my beginning, and that's we're at the beginning of step two here, you know. So all I needed was at the beginning. I didn't need to, you know, dive all in and I'm going to church and all of that. Like, I just needed the willingness, and I had it. But I read this chapter so many times before I even saw that. I just thought that when I read this chapter, I only saw with my dirty glasses. I just saw with my prejudiced eyes. It wasn't until I was able to see what was really written here that there are, like, a million ways to get to that spirit. I just need to be willing.
Time, please.
So, thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass it up.
Thank you, Michelle G. Next up, we have Yvette L., followed by Pedro B. Good morning, Yvette, and can you please let us know where you're calling from?
Sure. My name's Yvette L., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut. And thank you so much for the lead share and, you know, the acknowledging that, you know, we can, everybody has a right to start wherever they are, and sometimes that has to be at a very simple level. And you know, I don't have the right, as I'm working with anyone, to try to tell them what their power needs to be. I don't have that right. You know, I get to determine what this concept is for me, something that works for me, and everybody has that ability. You know, it's a power greater than myself. You know, and many times for me, it is, you know, the source of nature. It is, you know, capital C, capital I, creative intelligence, things like that, that work for me. And, you know, starting at wherever I was what I needed to do, and willing to come to believe. That's what, you know, step two says. You know, we came to believe. You know, and over the course of working the steps, you know, being entirely abstinent, excuse me, by the time I have that spiritual awakening, it, for me, it doesn't matter what I call it. I just know that there is a power greater than myself that has guided me to a life that's beyond anything I ever expected to live. And I trust that guidance, you know, and with all things, there's not a thing that this power can't help me with if I'm willing to be helped. And I'm just so grateful for the clear instructions that are in the big book that, you know, we can start, you know, at a, you know, simpler place if that's where we are, and we go from there. So I'm just so grateful for the life that I have today and grateful for the opportunity to share. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvette L. from Connecticut. And next up is Pedro B., followed by Monica F. Hi, Pedro.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be afternoon this morning. Yeah, this is this was great news to us, we agnostics, right? And I looked up the agnostics in the dictionary. It says an agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known about the existence of God, Unlike atheists who do not believe in any God, or theists who do believe, agnostics feel the ultimate truth is unknown or unknowable. In other words, I think Joe and Charlie said about lack of knowledge. You know, I practice true Buddhism, and when I came in here, Buddhism believes that God is a power within us and without and outside of us that's there to protect our life. Buddhist gods are functions in life and the environment that serve to protect us. So this is pretty much a Catholic book, but, you know, they talk about there's Buddhists here too. So, you know, this concept of God and this idea. So what I found in the beginning, before I even came to OA, right, when I was in AA, is like that you guys pray to achieve something, right? In this case, I pray to stay abstinent, you know, and that's where I started. And if you knew, you know, this is this on page 46, it says, as soon as we admit with the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took all the simple steps. So it's this willingness to believe. And then for me, the God that I found on this book is on page 55, where it says, it was much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analogy, it's only there that he may be found. It was so with us. So this, you know, this idea of this power outside has to be a power greater than myself. Well, the sun is more powerful than me. The moon is more powerful. The ocean, all of this stuff that is more powerful than me that can destroy me in a New Year's second. But this power within me, you know, this power that is blocked by my thinking, by my belief, by my character defects, that's where I'm trying to get to. This power can direct my thinking. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro B. from California. Next up, we have Monica F., followed by Liz S. Good morning, Monica.
Hello, I'm Monica S. You can hear me, right?
I can.
Hi, thank you. Okay, Monica S. from the Detroit, Michigan area. And I really like this paragraph. The part about, let's see, that was great news to us, for we had a saying we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith, which seemed difficult to believe. And that was me, like, you know, I was an atheist when I came into this program. And so where it says, so it was comforting to learn that we could come in at a simpler level. I really hated this chapter at first, because I thought it was kind of insulting. The, like, you know, like, why does it have to be, like, simple, like, what I believe, you know, it's like what I believe is what I believe. And there was, like, a number of things in this chapter that was kind of, patronizing to me. But now I, one thing that makes this chapter like helpful and palatable to me is, it's actually something in step five, where it says, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a certain spiritual experience. And like, I didn't have beliefs, but I did have a spiritual experience, and that was from like taking action. And so, you know, sitting there like trying to believe or trying to understand and explain like higher power, like that doesn't work. But actually just praying to like whatever I can, like I don't necessarily believe in necessarily God, but because I feel like it can't be proved or disproved, but I do know that the universe exists. Like whatever makes the universe, whatever makes the wind blow, whatever makes the waves, you know, motion, like that's who I pray to. I pray to that power, which is a power greater than me. And if that's God, great. If it's something else, whatever. And that in that chapter five, it says, the feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And that broad highway is capitalized. And just the whole, we feel we're on a broad highway walking, like the walking is action. Prayer is action. Picking up the phone and calling people is taking action. You know, like doing my meal plan, that's action. And when I do that action, I am like hand in hand with the spirit of
time.
I love that. Thank you. I'll wrap up with us saying, I love that it's a big look. All the spirit of the universe in part, because I believe that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica S. or F. from Michigan. Next up, we have Liz S. from Oregon, followed by Haya P. Hi, Liz.
A gracious good morning. Hi. Thank you for your service. I'm Liz S. from Oregon, a recovered compulsive eater. And I really love this chapter. I love, well, there's a lot of things I love. But one of them is this chapter, and one of them is visions. And I got hung up on the God thing initially. And then as higher power, you know, I hear people talk about higher power as being equivalent to a deity. And I don't believe a higher power is equivalent to a deity. I think it's broader than that. And I looked up deity, and it says a deity is a supernatural being, such as a god or goddess, believed to have control over some aspect of the universe, nature, or human life. Deities are typically regarded as divine, sacred, and worthy of reverence or worship, and they possess powers and immortality and knowledge far beyond human capabilities. Well, that didn't sit well with me. That's like the God I grew up with, which I had problems with in believing. I like what the dictionaries say about higher power. It's any force, spirit, or entity greater than the individual that provides strength, guidance, or a sense of purpose. It often refers to a traditional deity, but it is personal, deeply personal and subjective. And that is what I hold on to. I don't need to know. I don't need to know what my higher power is. All I know is that when I, as a very wonderful member of our fellowship, says, surrender, surrender, surrender. When I surrender, I have a feeling of peace, calm, direction, and purpose. I don't know where it comes from, and I don't need to know. All I need is to have some sense of reliance on that, whatever it is, and I can abstain with this, whatever it is help or reliance on it or surrender to it from compulsive eating and a lot of other compulsive behaviors. One of them is picking on my husband and trying to control everything.
Time, please.
So, and I'm not even going to try to control that. So I'm going to surrender and say thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. And now we have Haya P. from New Jersey. Good morning, Haya.
Good morning, Lynn. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P. I'm a very grateful, recovered compulsive eater, and I live in New Jersey. And I just want to welcome anyone who's new to Overeaters Anonymous. You've landed in a really good, strong, healthy Overeaters Anonymous meeting where people really do recover from this. And I'm just so grateful to be here this morning. And I, you know, I always, always share, especially when we're on, you know, in these chapters, that I ran out of my first OA meeting because there was all this talk about God. And that was not what I was looking for when I came to OA. And it was not something I wasn't really raised with a God consciousness. And I knew other people who were, and that those weren't me. And I thought, this is weird. I'm getting out of here. But I did, I was desperate. And I did have a sense that maybe there was something that I could, you know, there was something that I could get. But I really was very close to the whole God idea originally. But I did see that there were people who were abstinent, meaning they were sober when it came to food. They weren't binging and purging and sticking their fingers down their throats and taking diet pills and all up and down and all around and yo-yo and obese. Like, it was just, they weren't. There was a peace about them, and I didn't have that. And so I, in the process of the steps, you know, step two is just coming to believe my own conception. And the 12 and 12, the 12 steps and 12 traditions book, which is part of our literature, is really helpful in fleshing that out because it gives so many examples of so many kinds of people that walk in and are different backgrounds. And so I just had to start to, I just literally talked out loud to whatever was out there, are you there? And commence to begin my own conception of what that power was for me. And for me, that did turn into believing that there's God, but that is not a requirement. You don't have to name it. We don't know, right? It's just my conception. My conception doesn't change the reality of it. And the reality is there is something much greater than us because there's a group of people here, thousands of people who are sober today when it comes to food, alcohol, all those things, and they couldn't do it on their own. It reminded me this morning as we were thinking, I haven't thought about this in a while, but I was in a meeting many, 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 many years ago. It was actually an AA meeting, and this woman who had like 12 years of sobriety stood at the podium, and she said, if you have a problem with God, you have a problem. And it's true because you know, there's no deity here. There's no religion here. There's no nothing, but we must believe that there's something bigger. And if that God is just good, orderly direction,
time,
for now,
please.
That is enough to commence. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Haya P. from New Jersey. And for those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, just to let you know where we are continuing our study of the Big Book, and we're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, the third paragraph down. That was great news to us. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Roz G.
Karen K., Mississippi.
Pete B.
Okay, I heard Roz G. Karen K, Pete B, and oh, thank you. I was going to say, and I hear the airplane in the back. Okay, so we've got three people. Who else would like to share, please?
WH.
Ken WH. Anyone else?
Is this still time for Nancy P?
Yep. Always time for Nancy P. Okay. Let's try this lineup. Oh, sorry. Who was that?
Roy C.
Roy C. All right. Let's try this lineup, please. We have Roz
G. Jeannie B.
Hey, okay. We'll see if we have time. Jeannie B.
Thanks.
Okay. We have Roz G, Karen K, Pete B, Ken WH, Nancy P, Roy C, and Jeannie B. Roz, good morning.
Well, good morning. This is Roz G, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Thank you, God, for my recovery. So I just want to say that, you know, I always say I come from a religious background. And I practiced most of my disease at church. And when I came to these meetings, there were people who wanted what I had. Who I wanted what they had. I wanted what they had. And I was told in all kinds of meetings, whether they were big book or not, the way to get a sponsor is to look for somebody that has what you want and ask them to sponsor you. You know, this was early on. And look what it says here. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes. Or for me, I want what that person has. So there are so many people in this meeting, in Vision for You meetings, that I want what they have. And there are people in people who don't go to Vision for You, who I've met over the years, who I want what they have. And they do not practice the same religion as I do. What I am attracted to is people who live by spiritual principles, who eat abstinently and maintain it on a daily basis, and treat people with kindness and respect, and make time to share their experience, strength, and hope for others. That's what really attracts me in recovery. And most people live by spiritual principles, whether they believe in the same religion as I do. And that is very comforting to me. And I can commence to live a spiritual life and be shoulder to shoulder with people of all types of religions and beliefs. So today I do practice mine, but I work with and am friends with so many people from so many different faiths. But the things that we have in common is that we're on that Titanic and we're in that lifeboat every single day trying to, trudging the road of happy destiny. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Next up, we have Karen K. I don't know where she's from. I can't read my writing, followed by Pete B. Hi, Karen.
Hi, this is Karen K. from Mississippi. Can you hear me okay?
Well, you and the airplane behind you, yeah.
I'm pulling over. So I really enjoyed this paragraph. I read it this morning before I left for work. And what came to mind for me was when I first came into recovery, you know, I never didn't believe in God. I just didn't believe God had any use for me. And I learned more about a higher power of my understanding. And he was loving and kind and he would discipline me, but gently. And so I learned, you know, I can make mistakes and they're not fatal. I can learn from my mistakes and move forward. And that's what I've been doing recently. I'm coming out of a relapse and I'm learning from the relapse. I'm not letting it beat me down. I'm not letting it hold me back. My God is helping me take the lesson rather than beat myself up about it. And I really enjoyed, this is one of my favorite things about program is that we all get to choose our own conception. And I think that's great. I think it's wonderful that you can have, you know, whatever, if you are in a religion, it doesn't matter what religion you're in. If you're not in a religion, like, you get to choose your conception of God and make that definition and make that, as long as it's more powerful than you and kind and loving. And so, yeah, that's all I've got this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Karen K. from Mississippi. Pete C., good morning, followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. You did such a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. You know, to me, this paragraph, like the entire chapter, is not so much about, you know, trying to talk somebody into believing in God, but more so about convincing the reader that a power needs to come from something other than them, right? It's more about the first step than I think it is about the second step. It's more about just crushing the idea that no code of morals or better philosophy or, you know, no group, no nothing is going to be able to give the reader the necessary power to overcome this condition. Right? But since it's a big book study and we are on page 47, one of the things we might want to do is go back to, you know, where it references this power prior to this. Because it tells us in the doctor's opinion, the scientific assessment of the condition, it tells us, excuse me, in the doctor's opinion on page XXIX, it says one feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. It tells us on page 24, and there is a solution, that he has probably placed himself beyond human aid. Again, it tells us on page 25, it says we were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, and it goes on to say what's going to happen. And then again on page 43, it says, except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. Right? So on four different occasions prior to this chapter, it indicates that we cannot be the solution. New practices, new groups, new friends, new bosses, sponsors, leaders, mentors, they can't be the solution. The solution must be a power greater than yourself, not another human being. And I don't think we're doing anybody a service, any newcomer a service, by watering that down and saying, well, you know, just select something. Right? It says something more than human power. And when we are entirely defeated, that is when we can surrender, right? And not until then, because then we're holding on to mental defenses, human aid, better practices, better suggestions from people to take. We have to be completely defeated. And I'm grateful for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Ken W.H., it's your turn, followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Ken.
Well, good morning. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. My experience, my personal experience, and what I've seen in many others and who have shared experience, strength, and hope is that when I heard the word God early on, I immediately put on filters, my filters. And I think that's true for all of us. That when a certain issue comes up, a certain words are used, my filters pop up, and I see the issue through my lens that has these filters over it, and so it's going to look different than anybody else's. It's always going to look different than anybody else's because your filters aren't my filters. And sometimes I've tried to impress my filters upon you, and you had to see it my way. Don't you understand? Don't you know that I know more? Or something like that. I've come to understand that I don't have that kind of power, that I can't formulate your filters when you hear the word God. I know that when I say it, I know what I think I mean. I think I know what I mean. I'm still learning. What I do know is that the second step is pretty clear, and it's so easy to jump to the third step, where the word God jumps up at us. It's hanging on the wall there in the meetings. The second step doesn't say God at all, and it doesn't say that I have anything particular. It says that I just came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and only that power knows what sanity is for me. I don't know what it is for you. I hope it's good stuff. So I want to be restored to sanity, and I'm willing to believe that there is a power there that will bring me to that place. And it's a power that understands me. Not you and not us as a group, but understands me and is doing everything in its power to overpower my disease. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Nancy P., you're up, followed by Roy C. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in now Cambridge, Massachusetts. So everybody stole my thunder, but everybody did a great job. But all I have to say is, you know, I'm willing. I'm completely willing, except that I have not yet found any reason to actually believe, nor have I found any reason not to believe. I'm still hovering in the middle, neither a believer nor an atheist, and I'm just fine with that. And I think my life is entirely spiritual. I do, and my opinion is the only one that counts because I'm only talking about my life. And I don't know what it is. You know, as long as I try to figure it out and have a place to stand, be my place to stand, I failed. So, you know, I decided to blow all that off. That seemed like, to me, finding a place to stand that's making it God was, like building a sandcastle when there's a tsunami coming at me. You know, like get out of the way. Just get out of the way and move ahead. Just move on. Blow it off and worry about it later. And so that's what I do. I don't worry about it at all. And I'm constantly reaching. I'm constantly, seeking. I'm constantly seeking more. But I'm not seeking more God because I don't care about that. What I'm seeking is, you know, what I already have. I want more of it. What do I have? I'm happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. That's what I'm always seeking more of. I'm seeking always to bolster those things. Those are my five pillars. And, you know, how do I do that? I do that through surrender, surrender, surrender. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And, you know, what I need in terms of this thing that's not me, that's going to take care of me, I say whatever it is that takes care of me, I don't need to define it. I don't care what it is. All I care about is that when I need something, I get something. I get what I need. If I need to be patient, if I need to be loving, if I need to be extra kind, if I need to go the extra mile, if I need not to be resentful, all the rest of that, that's what I get. With almost no exception, you know, only my own, you know, stupidity and obstinance gets in the way, but less and less as the years go on. And, you know, my whole entire life has changed from the inside out and from the outside in. The joy in my life is unbounded. And I couldn't have imagined this in my wildest dreams or nightmares. I thought I had to be a Bible-thumping zealot, writhing on the floor, speaking in tongues, foaming at the mouth, you know, to be what this book, describes. but nothing could be further from the truth. So, you know, I'm still like in the nowhere place about God, and I don't care because I got my five pillars, happy, joyous, and free. I help other people. I don't hurt myself with food. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And finally, my mind is at rest. I'm not, you know, in danger of these big feelings that it talks about. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. Roy C., you're up, followed by Jeannie B. Good morning, Roy, and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, this is Roy C., compulsive overeater, and I'm from Southern New Jersey. And I want to say good morning to everybody, and thankful that I'm here and you're with us too. This God thing, I've heard a lot of people profess spirituality and they're real that have nothing to do with compulsive overeating. But I'm a compulsive overeater, so it really does have to do with that. That's the higher power that can relieve me of the insanity of compulsive overeating and bring me to a better place, I believe. We'll see what happens. I'm going to keep at it one day at a time. That I do know is that I've met a few people in my life that are doing well with the compulsive overeating, who have a strong spiritual belief and belief in God. In fact, somebody gave me a frog, fully rely on God. That was a very cool thing to do. And I remember an aunt that fully relied on God, and she was, totally abstinent, but I don't know if this was a problem in her life, but so it goes. I thank God that I'm abstinent at this moment, and I pray that I'll be abstinent in the future. Let me share. I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. And Jeannie B., good morning. You're going to be our last share. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm a compulsive overeater in Florida. What I really love and appreciate about this paragraph is the permission I feel like it gives me to be okay with what I believe and what I think. And when people of different faiths speak of their beliefs, there's nothing I want in what they have. I don't want to believe what they believe. I don't find it appealing when people present their dogmas and think that they have the answers to the universe. I find it wholly unappealing and repelling. And what this paragraph says to me is, I don't care about that. Don't worry about that. The spiritual principles, as I have come to see them, are the things like love, the things like leaving my resentments behind, things like being at peace, being grounded. And I do have higher power, but it isn't a deity. It is higher power, though. It is something with which I can align my spirit with Great Spirit or with the creator of the universe. The name really doesn't matter, but there is some higher power that I feel is love and with whom I wish to align my will. And to do good in the world, and to be good, good in a sense of at peace and loving. And that is what brings me peace. And that, you know, is sort of counterintuitive. I came in here to lose some weight and to, like, try not to have my head in the trash can while binge eating a bunch of crap. But what I found here with you all in partnership and with this book and with this community is love and peace. And goodwill for each other and for the masses. And that will keep me coming back, and it keeps me centered. And for you all, I am grateful. And for Higher Spirit, I am grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Jeannie B. from Florida. Thank you to everyone who shared. And thank you to our tremendous team Thursday who brought us through June, Chris W., Patsy M., Penny C., Martha ZZ, Reva P., Sylvana G., and Joe M. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today's meeting, Friday, June the 24th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23580. That's 23580. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Martha, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Hey, Martha, can you press star one, please? Are you there, Martha? Okay, Reva, could you please step in and read A Vision for You?
Yes, hi, this is Reva P. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.